10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is 5:30. It's Tuesday, January 7th. Thank you guys so much for being here with us, getting things going, just trying to get used to being back at work after being off for a couple of weeks. It takes a little practice and just with everything going on here at the radio station, it's been really hectic. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, hectic and just trying to, get back into a normal routine. I finally felt like I got sleep last night. I told you, I think both of us, two nights prior, just no sleep. I could not get any type of sleep. And then last night at 9, knocked out.
That's good. You finally got it. I fell asleep not easily last night. I had weird dreams and I blame it on a movie I watched last night. And the only reason I watched this movie was because an actress won a Golden Globe for her role in it. And I was like, oh, I want to see this. I hadn't heard of it. And it's called The Substance. And Demi Moore, she won a Golden Globe. And she was talking about how she thought she would never win anything for her acting, and people called her a popcorn actress where she could sell movie tickets and they go watch her movies, but she was never going to win anything for her art. And here she won this. So I'm like, I want to see this. And my daughter is like, I want to see it too. So we watched it last night. And oh my gosh, do you know anything about this movie?
Zero, nothing.
I'm traumatized.
No.
I'm completely traumatized by what I saw. I still am in complete shock.
I mean, you had dreams about it.
It is the most bizarre movie. I have no words. Has anyone else seen The Substance? And if so, was it just me or was that the most traumatizing thing you've ever seen?
Can you give us a little bit of a summary?
So the summary is that she is like an aerobics instructor who like was really big back in the 80s and 90s. And as she got older, she was just kind of dissatisfied that she's aging. And she has this opportunity to take this substance that is going to make the best new version of her. And the dilemma is, does she take the substance or not? And whoa, Sophie and I were looking at each other after we saw this movie, like, what did we just watch? There were so many moments where we couldn't even look at the screen, where we were putting our hands in front of our eyes. I'm not trying to oversell this. I am still in shock over what I watched last night.
It sounds like a little bit of The Matrix. And what's that movie with Bradley Cooper when he takes a pill and he can use 100% of his brain? It's giving me those vibes.
Yeah, it's oh my gosh, it was so weird.
The way that you're acting, it makes me intrigued to watch the movie.
There's part of me that's like, don't watch it. It's really like, whoa. But then there's another part that was like, okay, it was interesting. I don't know. I'd be curious to talk to anyone else who has seen it. I was completely shocked. My daughter was shocked. We told my husband, we're like, maybe you don't want to watch this. And he's like, no, now I really want to watch it. So I'm really excited to see what his reaction is going to be when he watches it.
I mean, I was going to watch Emilia Perez, but I mean, maybe I'll give it
the Substance
a
shot. That was literally our choice last night. We're like, should we do The Substance or Emilia Perez? And we're like, let's do The Substance. And we looked at each other afterwards. We're like, we should have done Emilia Perez.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
Crazy. But yeah, so that is why I had the weirdest dreams last night. I literally dreamt about Demi Moore in The Substance last night.
Wow.
It was like that ingrained in my brain. So it is absolutely crazy.
Honestly, I'm going to check it out a little bit. And then I think once you get to the parts where I'm like, oh, that is where Mercedes is talking.
You're going to know.
About.
You're going to know. Okay. You're going to just be like, what is this? And at the very end, it says like written by so-and-so and whoever the person's name was, we were shouting at the TV and we're like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with your mind? So yeah.
Thanks for great TV.
Let me know if anybody watches it. I'd be really curious to hear your opinions on that movie. So yeah, kind of crazy, but we are ready to get things going this morning. We've got your Mariah Carey tickets coming up 7:30 with the Mega Minute, and of course we're also giving away those tickets to see the Maroon 5 residency. That's happening just after 8 o'clock with Heads Up, but right now it's time for the pre-show. You pick them. You guys get to pick the first song of the show. Do you want to hear Glycerin by Bush?
Don't let the days go.
hear Mambo Number 5 by Lou Bega.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see.
Or do you want to hear Survivor by Destiny's Child? Are your choices? Get your votes in right now. You can do that a couple of ways. You can tweet us on X or on Threads at Mercedes in the AM. You can vote on our Facebook page, Mercedes in the Morning, or text or call us right now, 702-364-9400. We'll count your votes now and reveal the winner next on Mix 94.1.
Mix 94.1. You're going to want to hear this.
All right, we have more to come on the pre-show this morning. A retired teacher is going viral for what she says is the biggest parenting mistake that she saw during her career. We're going to tell you what it is coming up next. But first, the votes are in, and Glycerin by Bush is the pre-show. You pick them.
You choose the music. You pick it, we play it. It's Mercedes in the Morning.
Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the Morning. You know, as a parent, I try my best to, like, not totally screw up my children. And sometimes that's a task that's easier said than done. But it's interesting to hear the perspective from teachers on what they see parents doing wrong as they have their children for several hours a day. And there's a retired teacher whose message is going viral. She says this is the biggest parenting mistake that she saw throughout her career. Here's what she said.
Mom, you were an elementary school teacher. What's one thing that you saw people messing up with their kids?
They didn't enjoy them. Kids are fun. You gotta enjoy them. They wanted them to be something, and you know, most of us aren't exactly what other people want us to be. So enjoy the kid you have.
Enjoy the kid you have. I think so many times, you know, you tell your kid, oh, you're gonna be a lawyer and you're gonna be a doctor, and you miss out on enjoying the child that you have. Because you're trying to create the child, the adult that you want them to become. And that, man, that hit me. I was like, yeah. Whoa. And I'm looking back and like, I hope I did that. I hope I did. But I do remember times where I was like, yeah, you should be a doctor. And I'm glad they kind of are strong-willed and have minds of their own. And they are like, this is what I like to do. And I've never diverted them from that. But I think of all the times that maybe I did try to create the person I thought they should be rather than just enjoying the child that I had.
And it's not bad for people to be like, you're going to be an astronaut or a vet or one of those, so that you set children and their goals to be high. It's just the pressures, I think, when you think of like, oh my God, I have to be, you don't have to be a doctor. If you want to be a doctor, yes. I just remember when I was a kid, I was so overachiever. I'm going to be a dancer, a singer, and a doctor. They're like, you go, girl, but don't worry about if you're not going to be those things. Just live the life you have now. And that's one of the things I appreciated when I was a kid, is that my parents were very present when I was a kid. And I think you did the same thing with your girls, Mercedes.
I hope so. I do remember, you know, my dad, he basically told me I was going to be a pharmacist. Like, that was it. And I went to school for that and I failed miserably because that wasn't me. That's not who I wanted to be. So I think the lesson here is really simple, just to accept your kids for exactly who they are. Just love them. Just enjoy them. Don't try to make them into something that they're not. Don't try to change them. Don't just be disappointed in who they are. And, you know, sometimes I have a lot of friends that have like really young kids, like 4 and 5 years old. And I look at them and I want to say, oh, man. And if you have young kids right now, enjoy that time, because it goes so fast. Before you know it, they're like 15 years old and like fighting with you. You know what I mean?
And I know I don't have kids, but that's the one thing that I think that I don't want to be, is not present. Like, I think, for example, when we do mornings, there's a part of our children's lives that we kind of miss. It's getting them ready for school. Mm-hmm. It's dropping them off at school. Those are the things that I'm going to be probably envious of James when we have kids, is that he's able able to take those simple things in our lives and have that on a daily basis that I'm not going to have.
And I used to feel that way too. I used to be really jealous, but the jealousy does nothing for you or for the kids. The way I look at it now is I'm excited that they have that time to bond with their dad. And I feel like that's why they have such a close relationship with their dad, because they've had that experience. I know what you mean. I do get bummed out that I miss the school drop offs and that stuff. But then I try to look at the other things. Like sometimes I'm off early enough so I get to go to the programs and I don't miss those, or I get to do the pickups. And then when I'm in the pickup line, I'm like, why am I in this line? This is the worst.
Jaleb's here. He said he wanted to comment on this.
Well, here's the thing. You said you don't have a kid. Yeah, you do. Momo is your kid.
Okay.
So you got to treat her like that. Come on.
Okay, Jayla, let's not go there. The whole
the dog is my baby. We get it. Yeah. We love our dogs, but it's different than a child. He is my baby, but I also am not. I'm like, when my kid's 2 years old and I'm like, oh gosh, he's running around, no pants, doesn't want to be potty trained. I'm like, I should have had more dogs.
Yeah. Well, more dogs is never a bad answer, no. I say.
Exactly.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes!
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, January 7th. It is 6:03. So good to have you guys here, getting back into the swing of things after a little bit of time off, and here with Steph and J-Love, who is filling in. How you guys doing this morning?
I'm good. I mean, much better than yesterday. I feel like yesterday, no sleep. And now I'm like, 8 hours of sleep. I'm feeling great. Jay, what about you?
I'm feeling great. I mean, I got a routine going now, and I got my oatmeal. I'm good to go.
Oatmeal. He's got his oatmeal ready to go. It's a good day. I want to thank you again, Steph. Steph brought me her Christmas present to me yesterday. I guess you had some shipping issues with it and just came in. And it's this really cute, like, music box that plays a song. I don't know if people who aren't BTS fans will know this song, but it's playing Spring Day by BTS, and it's just, what a thoughtful gift. I love it so much. Thank you so much for that.
And it was so fun giving it to you. I'm like, hey, I know I'm about 2.5 weeks late, but open it. And I'm not usually the kind of person to go in someone's studio and be like, open my gift, because I don't know the pressures of all of that. So I'm happy you
love
it.
Oh, I absolutely love it. Yeah, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine last night. She was a little bit upset about a gift she got. See if this would upset you guys. So she got the gift from her husband of a gym membership for Christmas. And she was telling me, because she was asking me if I belong to a gym, we should go to the gym together. And I was like, which one? She's like, well, so-and-so, he got me a gym membership. She's like, I'm not happy about it, but I guess I should use it. And I was like, why aren't you happy about it? She's like, I just feel like he's sending me a message. Mm. And I was like, oh, I go, okay, well, you know, I don't belong to that gym, but, you know, I go, don't take it personally. I go, maybe he just wanted you to get out of the house. Would you guys take it personally if your spouse got you a gym membership?
If James got me a gym membership, I'd be ecstatic, because I want to be a part of a gym. I would love that. And then, Jay, you were saying that you've gifted your wife this before, right?
Oh, yeah, because she saw that I was doing, like, my EO stuff, and I've been working out, and she was jealous, and she goes, I want a gym membership, so I got her a gym membership, and she was cool with it.
Okay, so let's throw this kind of into the mix. What if you were gifted a gym membership by your spouse after they had been making comments about your body?
That's different, yeah.
No. After comments, I'm like, you're funny. Yeah. You can take those comments to the gym and use your own gift so you can let it all out.
She, I guess he had, for the past few months, had been making comments like, are you feeling okay? You seem kind of like, you're just not motivated to move. And
what?
Yeah, he's been making these comments to her. And so when she got the gym membership, she was really hurt. So when she told me that part, I was like, I can kind of see where you're coming from now. That would make me sad.
I would never do that. I would never, hell no. I would not tell my wife or ask my wife those questions and get her a gym membership. Are you kidding me? The death stares that I'll get from that? Hell no.
I did mention to James this past weekend, because we had his sister's wedding. We've been, you know, it's been the holidays. We've been eating and we've been drinking alcohol. Let's be honest. And I said, babe, We need to lose 5 pounds. He goes, speak for yourself, lady. I love how you made it a we, though, and it wasn't exactly. It wasn't like you.
So he can help motivate me. Like, I want that, and I love that. But if he's telling me, like, you need to do it, no, forget it.
That's like, that's hurtful, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I'm like, maybe I need to join this gym with you, and then you can get the revenge body and be like, stay away.
Yes, yeah.
Get out of here. So we have a lot coming up this morning. We've got your Mariah Carey tickets on the way, 7:30 with the Mega Minute. Don't want to miss that. And then Maroon 5's residency. Have you seen it yet? It is so good. And we've got your tickets coming up just after 8 with Heads Up for that. And coming up next, we have what's trending. Rumors were swirling this weekend. This celebrity couple is indeed engaged, and why our short kings are celebrating. Details coming up in what's trending.
Mercedes in the mornings, what's trending on Mix 94.1.
Tom Holland and Zendaya are trending this morning. The couple, they're taking their relationship to the next level. TMZ is reporting that they did indeed get engaged, and it happened late last year. So everyone was talking about Zendaya when she showed up with this rock on her finger at the Golden Globes on Sunday. Did you see it?
Of course. That's the only thing I really saw from the Golden Globes. It's like, Zendaya's wearing an engagement ring. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, it was huge. And reports are that he proposed sometime between Christmas and New Year's at home. They said that it was private. It was intimate. But just between the two of them, no one else was there. The two of them met on the set of their film Spider-Man Homecoming. They've been dating since 2021. I guess Tom went to Zendaya's dad to ask for permission months ago, but just wanted to wait for the right moment to actually propose. I guess the ring is over 5 carats, cushion diamond. It's absolutely gorgeous. And so it is official. They are definitely engaged. And one thing I love about the two of them is he's so protective of her. If you've ever seen them in public, he automatically like goes to protect her, to shield her. When they're on red carpets, he steps aside because he says, I want her to have her moment. He's just such a supportive guy. And a lot, I know I saw a post the other night. It was from like this Short King's Instagram that was like, well, another one of our Short Kings has found himself a queen. And so he's 5'8 and she's 5'10. So there's not that big of a height difference, right?
Yeah. Because if she's wearing heels,
well, that's
she's
true.
A lot taller
right.
than he is.
And she will wear it around him. And I love when couples do that. Like, they're like, we don't care. Some people, that's an issue. Like, for them, guys don't want a girl taller than them. Ladies, they want to be smaller than their man. Not for them. She's like, I will rock my heels. It doesn't matter that he's shorter than me. And I love that about them.
Jay, have you ever gone for a woman that's taller than you? And did they say, absolutely, let's go for it?
Absolutely.
They both did? You guys both
were? I dated a woman who was, she was 5'11".
For reference, how tall are you?
I'm 5'6 and a half.
So that means 5'6".
I had to put that half in it.
Okay.
The thing is that the cool thing about her at the time, because we lived together, she can reach the top shelves and grab stuff.
He's like, I'll open the jars if you reach the jar up on the top shelf.
I'm just picturing this 5'6 and a half man and a 5'11 woman. I mean, it's a very big difference.
It's a big
difference. Did anyone comment on
no,
it?
Because
or?
Nobody cared.
Okay.
But the thing is, now my wife, she's 5'3. So now I'm the tall person in that relationship.
So you guys are like investing in step stools in your house, I take it. That's what's trending. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. Have you ever seen that skit on Saturday Night Live when Jimmy Fallon was on and he was dressed as like a teenage girl in his basement and he got, ugh.
Yeah, of course.
That's all I can say to myself as I'm hearing you admit what you did is, ugh. What were you thinking? Were you that hungry, Steph?
I was starving, and this is why I did it. And I said, I don't care, I'm doing it. And I got Jollibee. One of my favorite fast food restaurants is Jollibee. And what I get from Jollibee is a hamburger steak. It's like a beef patty with gravy and a side of white rice. I'm eating. I'm starving. We just get back from my sister's wedding, and we got it delivered. I'm opening up my food. I take a bite of my rice. And I noticed there was something in it, and I pulled it out of my mouth, and it was a long black hair.
Uh-uh.
And I said, I looked at James and I'm like, look at what happened. There was a hair in my food. He goes, are you sure it wasn't yours? I'm like, I'm positive.
Are you 100% you have long black hair?
Yeah. I do have long black hair, but my hair was pulled back. And I just, you know when it's not yours because it was curled up and it was wavy in the rice. Ugh. But guess what? I was so hungry, I didn't care. I ate it.
And ew.
So we sent it over to the people that delivered. They were able to get us some food credit. Couple days pass by. We get a bagel and cream cheese for breakfast. We're walking around at the park. I take my first bite of the bagel with cream cheese. And you'll never guess what happened to me again.
Long black wavy hair.
Long blonde wavy hair was in it. I was like, are you kidding
me? Don't tell me you ate that too.
I sure did.
Oh,
I said, I'm so hungry. I'm like, I don't care. I didn't report that one. I was just over it. There's something going on in my life that they're like, hey, here's some hair in your food.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if it's my hair that I find in food, I will keep eating it. It's like, it's mine. But the fact that you knowingly ate other people's hair.
I did. That's so disgusting.
Yeah. But I feel like all of us do something that someone else would find completely disgusting. Like, there's just something that you did or have done. 702-364-9400. As a child, this is so disgusting. I just want to put the warning ahead of time. Like if I clip my toenails or my fingernails, I don't know what it was about the consistency of the fingernail, but I would love to like chew on it. Okay. I know.
No. Ew. You're making fun of me for other people's hair. That's disgusting.
I know.
Mercedes.
I am fully on board with you. You are right. It is disgusting. And I don't do it anymore. I blame it on my childhood. I don't know what it was, but I would chew on my fingernails.
You two are disgusting, man. I thought I knew you guys, but man, this.
This is what you get for filling in here. Like, this is what you get. You get to see the real us. You saw the office us.
Yeah.
Now this is the real us.
Okay, Jade, now it's time to put your guard down. What's something that you do that's disgusting that we don't know about?
Okay, so I'm going to admit it. Okay, so you guys put me against the wall on this one. So here's what I like to do. I like to eat, you know, like Doritos and Cheetos and stuff like that.
Ew,
and
that's disgusting.
Yeah,
oh, that's not it? Okay.
You know how your fingers get covered in that glorious cheesy goodness?
Yes.
That dust? I can't help it, but I lick my fingers in a sensual way.
Ew.
I lick them twice. And it's like, you know, I'm trying to savor the last crumb. And I know it's gross, but that's just who I am.
Okay, I get the licking of the fingers. Oh, I do that too. But the fact that you do it, don't show us.
Okay, I'm going to look away. Just do the sound. That's gross.
So, and I do both of them too.
If you... Both of your fingers? You only have two fingers?
No, I mean my
Did
hands.
You guys know that JC or J-Lo only has two fingers?
Wow. Ain't no shame. No shame. If that's what you like, and then you do it.
That cheesy dust is so good.
That's so disgusting that you do it in a sensual way. Like, even in public, you will?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. I don't care. Judge me if you want.
What if there's like a child looking at you? And
I'll turn.
Okay.
I'll turn my head.
No. What? Don't get the child involved. That's where we cross the line, okay?
It's Mix 90.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Well, the body of former President Jimmy Carter is expected to arrive in Washington, D.C. today. His body is going to be flown from his home state of Georgia to D.C. It'll be taken to the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. The late president's family, members of Congress, and other dignitaries will attend a private ceremony after his body arrives this afternoon. He's going to then lie in state in the rotunda until his funeral, which is happening at the National Cathedral on Thursday. Yeah, he passed away while we were on vacation, 100 years old.
I remembered that day because that was the day of my sister's wedding. I woke up and I'm like, no, not Jimmy Carter.
I know.
And what a blessed life. Like, just to live to 100 years old, president or not, that's just a very long lived life.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys ever think of like what would be the age that you would want to make it to? Because I feel like 100 is a nice number, but it obviously depends on your quality of life, and I don't want to be a burden to my family or anything like that, but I love just the sound of 100 years old sounds perfect to me.
And he was like 100 in just a few months, right?
Yeah, he just turned 100, I think.
I don't know if I would want to live to 100.
Is that too long?
Yeah, I think that's too long.
Well, you know, with technology now and with medicine, we could live that long and not suffer like some of the people have in the past. But I mean, 100, I mean, think about that. That's not that far along.
Okay, J-Lo, you weren't here when I was talking about this morning. I was telling Steph that I watched the most bizarre movie last night, and it's kind of making me think of, you know, medicine and stuff like that. But you know the movie that Demi Moore won the Golden Globe for, the Substance?
I haven't seen it, but I heard it. Yeah,
that movie is all about taking this substance that will help create the best version of yourself. And it is so trippy and the most bizarre movie I have literally ever seen. I've never seen a more bizarre movie in my life. I'm traumatized by it.
You were saying if anyone has watched it, and Ramon, who's helping us, says that he watched
the
movie.
Ramon, turn on your microphone. Yeah, I have to ask you. I was completely traumatized by this movie. What did you think about it?
Definitely body horror, but I enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it in a weird way, but there were so many times I could not look at the screen, and I was like, what is happening?
And I'm like, what do you mean by body horror? And you said what to me? That's
pretty much all you can say without spoiling it.
Yeah, you can't say anything else. Yeah, okay.
I gotta see it. I gotta get my wife.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot. Yeah,
but after seeing that movie, I have just a new respect for what our bodies do for us and how they carry us through life and how we always want better or, you know, younger or whatever. It's like, man, your body is your shrine, and we should just like appreciate what we have. You
meanwhile
know what I mean?
I'm like, shots.
Just don't take the substance. That's all I ask of you. Also this morning, I guess people are really freaking out and really upset about something that Chick-fil-A has done. They I guess quietly introduced this new recipe for their french fries. I've had them in the past, but not recently. So the Chick-fil-A french fries now, I guess this new design keeps the fries crispier for longer. And fans are freaking out. They're complaining. They're saying they're too gritty. They're dry. Social media is going insane with this fry frustration. People are piling up on them. Do you guys have Chick-fil-A? Do you guys eat Chick-fil-A?
I love Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A. I like their spicy
Spicy deluxe chicken.
Yes.
And the 100. Is it the waffle fries that are being changed?
Yeah, yes. That's what they were bringing in regular fries too, but the consistency of the waffle fries, they have changed.
No.
Yeah.
I think what I love about the waffle fries is because they're not crunchy. They're actually very soft.
Not anymore.
What? No, I don't like that.
Why change when you're not getting complaints about it in the first place? I mean, you make changes as you get complaints. Why change something that people still love?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah,
I think maybe they were trying to make improvements to it and it didn't make an improvement. I'm not sure.
Well, I hope they hear this and they're like, oh, yeah.
They're saying they may reverse the decision on that one. Finally, this morning, a lot of people are afraid that if you like pass gas in front of your significant other, that could turn into like losing the magic between the two of you.
I do it all the time.
Oh, gosh.
What? It's the truth.
Well, that may be a good thing, actually.
See?
There's this new survey that shows 29% of couples actually wait between 2 and 6 months into a relationship to pass gas in front of them, which is about the same amount of time it takes for them to say, I love you. But this could be a good sign in your relationship. Partners who are comfortable enough to pass gas in front of each other, they say, may have stronger bonds and better emotional health.
Oh my God. I will never forget the first time it happened when James and I first started dating. It was about, like you said, about 5-6 months in, and it was an accident. It was me. It came out, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he goes, all right, cool. I'm glad that's over. So he
from now on, you have free reign to do what you needed to do.
Exactly.
That's the one thing I miss about having dogs. I would just always blame it on them. It's not me, it's them. Now I have no one to blame it on. Maybe my kids.
Yeah, there you go.
My dog blames it on me.
Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. 7:03. J-Love, I'm learning more and more about you as the days go on. And I am so sad to hear this about you, and I really feel like this is a bad sign. I'm no relationship expert, but this is a bad sign. Tell everyone what has happened.
Okay, so my wife and I have been together, well, we've been married for 10 years, and every year we forget our anniversary. So the other day, Steph and I were in my office, and my wife calls me up, and she goes, "Hey, guess what we forgot?" I'm like, "Oh, shoot. Did I forget to let the dog out? Did I forget to go get something?" She goes, "No, we forgot our anniversary again." And I'm going, "Oh, snap.
Oh, man."
And we've missed it every year for the past 10 years. We've missed our anniversary. I don't know why. It just slips our mind.
And when this happened, Mercedes, so she goes, they're on the phone together, and he has the phone to his ear. So all I can hear is his side, like, "No, not again." And I'm like, "Is everything okay? Like, do you need me to step out of your office?" And he goes, "Let me put her on speaker. It's my wife." I'm like, "Hey, Aaron, what's going on? Is everything okay?" And she goes, "Steph, me and J-Love, we did it again. We forgot our wedding anniversary." I'm like, how can you forget your wedding anniversary? Is everything okay between the two of you?
That's a thing. Like, okay, I might roll this back a little bit. I was like, this is going to be the demise of your relationship because you can't remember your wife's anniversary, but it's a two-way street on this one. She's forgetting it too. So she's not mad at you. She's just kind of like, oh, we forgot it again.
Where she's mad at us as a couple saying, how did we forget, both of us forget our wedding anniversary? I mean, it wasn't like a big celebration or anything like that. We got married downtown.
Oh, like you eloped and stuff. Okay.
Well, not eloped, but yeah, we just went downtown because we didn't want to feed people that we don't like. So that's why we did that. So
try having a Thanksgiving at my house. Talk about feeding people you don't like.
Oh, man.
No kidding.
That's a different topic.
So you guys, do you feel like that's a bad sign if you don't celebrate the anniversary? Oh, 702-364-9400. Jeff has a really good idea when it comes to getting married. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So the first time around, yes, I forgot it a couple times. The second time around, I got married on 10-10-10 on purpose.
Now you cannot forget it. 10-10-10, like, you are set. Do you have anything fun that equates to the date that you guys were married, J-Love?
No, not really.
What's the actual date?
It's December 5th.
He had to think about it. He had December to think 5th. About it.
12-5. Yeah. What could we, what's with 12-5?
12-5.
December 12-5. 5th. Is that Pearl Harbor Day? No, wait.
Oh.
December 5th.
No, I think that's December 12th.
Do we look that up?
Pearl Harbor Day.
I don't even know.
What's a special day on December 5th? Like a fun day, like National Strawberry Day.
Okay, I got it. Okay. J-Love, on December 5th, 1933, Prohibition ended in the United States.
Yes!
So now you'll remember it. Like, this is the day.
That's perfect because I love whiskey.
You know what? I have something that I think is going to be the demise of my relationship. I'll tell you guys what that is next. Mix 94.1. We love getting your texts and calls. You can always reach us at 702-364-9400. J-Love and his wife both forgot their anniversary. We're getting a bunch of texts about that. Coco wants to know how you both miss your anniversary. And then we're getting some suggestions. This one says, that's an easy problem to solve. Just put a reminder in your iPhone or have Alexa tell you. Can you tell Alexa? Hey, gosh, I'm afraid to say it because I don't want to set off everyone's voices at home. But can you say, remind me of my anniversary on the date, and then will she remember that on the date?
That's a good idea. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, do something like that. This one says, I think it's the opposite. If a couple forgets their wedding anniversary, it just means they don't need a date to remind them of the love that they have for each other over the years.
Yeah,
but every year they forget their anniversary for the past 10 years? That's a lot.
Wait, I don't know. Haven't been married for 10 years? Has it been 10 years?
Yeah, it's been 10 years.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
12,
okay.
15.
Now I feel bad. I'm forgetting your anniversary too. So they say a big component in keeping your marriage strong is in keeping that spark. And I feel like I have killed the spark in my relationship. It's gone. And it's because of something I started doing. I'll tell you what that is coming up next. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. Okay, so is there something that you do that is kind of unsexy. It's like the anti-Viagra to your relationship. I feel like I've reached into that territory now with something that I started doing. I started doing it over the break. I mentioned it briefly yesterday. Has anyone discovered mouth tape? Mouth tape that you put on your mouth before you go to bed, and it helps keep your mouth closed. It helps it helps with a lot of things. It provides better oral health. It completely, well, I wouldn't say completely, because I think that you could still snore with it on through your nose, but like, it helps with snoring. It snatches your jawline. I saw an ad like on TikTok for this mouth tape. I'm like, I want to try that. So I bought it. And you put this stuff on. It's not like actual tape. It's like, you know, like the ACE bandages. It's like a thinner version of that you put on your mouth at night, and you can breathe through it. And I tell you, I've been getting the best sleep of my life with this stuff. I sleep so sound. I get like that REM sleep where nice. I remember my dreams. And so despite that, I feel like my husband hates it, because every night before we go to bed, he looks at me and I feel like I get the eye roll.
Yes.
Is that like the unsexiest thing you could do, is go to bed with mouth tape on?
I don't know. I've never seen anyone with mouth tape on. I actually think that it's a great way for James to convince him, because his snoring is so loud.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it with it on. So I'm wondering what you look like with mouth tape on.
But how does that work if you're a guy, if you have a beard? Doesn't it get stuck in your beard?
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I think that it's like the kind of adhesive that comes off easily. Oh, Matt's on the phone. Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. Matt.
My boy, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, as long as it takes you to REM sleep, hey, whatever you need to do to make it work, let it happen.
You don't mind that I look like I'm on Silence of the Lambs when I go to bed?
That's funny.
Oh, man. Can you get some, like, cartoon characters on it? Because that red, that's just kind of evil. Like, are you going to come at me in the middle of the night kind of thing?
Matt, Mercedes wants sexy time, and she's wearing her mouth tape on. What's the first thing you do? Do you rip it off? Or
hey,
you just,
man.
Like,
did you put lipstick on it?
And Pete's got some kink out there, and that's just not mine.
I am sorry. It's pink, so it looks like I have this really big smile, creepy smile.
No.
Yeah, it's really bad. Gosh. I'm just telling you, if you want to enhance your sleep and maybe unenhance your sexy time, mouth tape is the way to go, guys. It's Mix 94.1.
Are you ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Hi, Hazel. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Great. You're caller 20. You get to play for the Mega Minute. Do you have someone there helping you?
Yes, I do. I have my son.
What's your son's name?
Sebastian,
what is up? You ready to do this?
Yep.
Okay, so guys, I've got 10 questions for you. You answer them all correctly in 60 seconds. You guys are going to win these tickets to see Mariah Carey. And here's the deal. If I hear a right answer, doesn't matter who it's from, we're moving on to the next question. Got it?
Yes.
All right, Hazel and Sebastian, if you're struggling with the question, you can say pass. Or if you get one wrong, if there's time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And the game, it starts now.
Eddie Murphy voiced what animal in the Shrek movies?
The donkey.
Yes. What fruit is associated with Isaac Newton and gravity?
Oh, pass.
Jason Momoa played what DC superhero in multiple movies?
Pass. Oh.
What is Chick-fil-A's slogan?
Pass. Oh, my God.
What is the capital of Alabama?
No, you don't. Oh, my God.
Who directed and starred in the 90s movie Braveheart?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, let's pass on that. Which actor who passed away in 2024 was the original voice of Mufasa?
Oh, I Pass.
Okay. What city and state did the show Breaking Bad take place in? Some days you are the windshield, some days you are the bug, Hazel and Sebastian.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. You know what? It's okay, because here's the thing. You can just hang up and call right back and try to win these Mariah Carey tickets. Let's go over some of these answers, though. Which fruit is associated with Isaac Newton and gravity? That's the apple falling from the tree.
Right.
Jason Momoa played what DC superhero? Aquaman was the answer. Chick-fil-A's slogan, eat more chicken.
Yeah.
What is the capital of Alabama? That is Montgomery. And the director and star of the 90s movie Braveheart, that's Mel Gibson. The actor who passed in 2024, the original voice of Mufasa, was James Earl Jones. And the city and state that the show Breaking Bad took place in is Albuquerque, New Mexico. So now you guys know. Just in case you're ever asked those questions again, Hazel, Sebastian, now you got it. And that means caller 20 right now, you win these tickets, two of them, to see Mariah Carey, the Celebration of Mimi, live in Las Vegas at Dolby Live. Caller 20 gets them at 702-364-9400.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
So TikTok is scheduled to be banned here on the 19th of this month, but Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary, he is working on a plan to buy the platform. He says he's going to need President-elect Donald Trump's help to make it happen, to close this deal, but he said that former Dodgers owner Frank McCourt would be his partner in the deal. He says this isn't just about buying TikTok's U.S. assets. It's about something much bigger, and that's protecting the privacy of 170 million American users. And it's about empowering creators and small businesses on this platform that he feels like it prioritizes people over the algorithm. So it may not be going away as scheduled.
I hope this doesn't go away. I love TikTok. I think that's one of my favorite apps to just escape and just do mindless scrolling. So to hear this, that cross fingers that they're able to set something up with President-elect Trump with his help and their cabinet, I just think that TikTok should not go away. I think there are more pros than cons in this situation.
I have a love-hate relationship with social media as a whole, and I do get a lot of information from TikTok. The main reason I don't want it to go away is that I know so many people whose livelihood really depends on the app. So many people, that is how they pay their bills, with what they do on TikTok. So for their sake, I really hope it, stays. Would I be able to live without it? Absolutely.
Of course. I think we all can. I mean, some of us can, yes.
Some of us are addicted. Others.
And for the livelihood of those, too. I think about that, too. That's where my heart goes out, too. And it's not as easy as people think. Oh, just go to Instagram and start there. Well, they have to start all over if they've never been on that platform before.
And that's just a different vibe. The vibes are different. It's so funny because one of my daughters is like anti-TikTok. She does not have a TikTok. She doesn't want anything to do with it. And so she'll come to me and my other daughter and be like, did you guys see this reel? And we're like, that's like a month old.
Yes.
I saw that on TikTok a month ago.
That's me and my husband. My husband's like, oh my God, I just sent you the funniest thing on Instagram reels. I'm like, really? That was so like 6 months ago.
You're late.
Yeah.
Also this morning, the world, obviously an enormous place, full of places to travel to, and new research has revealed the ones people want to see most. There's a new report from the Bucket List Company, and it's highlighting the destinations that that are at the top of travel bucket list for people around the world this year. So what is at the top of your guys' bucket list for a travel destination right now?
For me, I love anything island feel, like the Bahamas or somewhere in the Caribbean for me.
Okay.
Mine is Ireland because I love golf. And that's the home of golf, so that's a bucket list for me.
That's one of mine, too, J-Love. I really want to go see Ireland or Scotland.
So beautiful,
like there. That kind of area. Well, the number one bucket list destination worldwide for this year is Machu Picchu, Peru. And that's been on my list forever, like hiking the Inca Trail. Like, I've wanted to do that, but it's gradually kind of slipped down. Because
why?
I just can't find anyone to go with me.
Why don't you do a solo? I would go with you, but I think this is a destination for a solo trip.
No, I would not let. No, heck no, not by yourself. No, no, no.
What?
No.
What? I'm tough. No, oh, I don't need no man. No.
She does not need a man.
No, no. I'm not saying she need a man, but I'm just saying you can't go down there, especially by yourself. No.
You don't think that it's safe for a solo traveler to go to Machu Picchu? Why not?
If she was going to, like, you know, Baltimore or Florida, anything like that, yeah.
I'd be more concerned about going to Baltimore.
Me too.
London, France, but no, not that far.
I think you could totally do it by yourself, Mercedes, as long as you're giving us your itinerary, you're keeping your husband updated. You can totally do a solo trip to Machu Picchu. I'm totally behind you.
If I did that, I would do it like with a tour group or something, so I'd have, you know, going solo, I definitely think I could do it, but I don't know. I
would do it. I wouldn't go by my dang self.
Why not?
Because, dude, I'm scared. Hell no.
You're like, scared?
Yeah, they'd kidnap me. And for, you know, I don't know what the hell they're going to do down there with me.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
The Taj Mahal was number two on that. Lapland, Sweden, number three. Petra, Jordan was number four. And then the Grand Canyon was number five on that list. All right. Finally, this morning, this guy, Tim King, he was remodeling the bathroom of his parents' home in Illinois. And he discovered something while they were taking down the drywall. So initially, this house was his great-grandparents' home, and it was kind of like a summer retreat, and the family had been using it for three generations. So over the years, they made additions to the house, and this may have caused this item to slip between the walls. They took down the walls and found a present wrapped in yellow Disney themed paper, and it had his name on it, Tim's name. He believes it was a gift that his parents had for him years ago, and it slipped between the walls. So he decided to open the present, and he found it was a set of Matchbox Thunder Jets, which was a toy he described as the perfect gift for his six-year-old self back in 1978. He shared a video of the discovery, just kind of documenting the whole remodel and what he found. Have you ever done that where you hit a gift so good that you couldn't find it? I do that all the time. I know that I have gifts in my house right now that are missing that I just forgot where I placed them.
I'm actually watching back the video of the present that he found that could have slipped. It's so easily for this present to have slipped because it's a very thin box. It's kind of looks like cardboard wood. So for that to happen, I can see. But how cool is that? Like, it's like a scavenger hunt back from the 70s. That's really nice.
The paper even looks like 70-ish.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like that old kind of Disney Donald Duck kind of things, but it's like, as an adult, I'd still be excited to get these Matchbox airplanes.
Exactly.
Seriously.
Exactly. Hey, coming up next, did you want to talk about Jay's, what were you saying about how you, what was it, the Hermes bags?
Jay's?
Yeah, Jay was...
I was telling you guys that I bought a fake one.
Oh, you were talking about you got a fake one.
Yeah. Have you guys heard the whole thing with the fake Hermes bags, the Birkin bags? I actually ordered one, so we'll talk about it coming up next. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. I bought a Firkin. A fake Birkin bag, or actually I'm calling it a Workin. That's what the internet is calling it. Have you guys heard of this? So there's a bag that, if you're like me, you probably weren't familiar with it because it's way out of your price range, but it's called a Birkin bag, and it's made by Hermes. Hermes is one of those fancy schmancy stores that you see like in some of the high-end casinos and stuff like that. And I can honestly say I've never set foot in an Hermes because I can't afford even like a paperclip in there. But
I can't even afford the air I breathe in that store.
I've never set foot in one, but I definitely am familiar with the Birkin bag. And the Birkin bag is like their signature bag. It's like, it can range from $10,000 to $45,000,
what,
I guess.
For
like
a bag?
These bags, J-Love, are so expensive, and there's actually like a wait list. I heard that you have to be invited to buy one of these bags, that you can't just walk in and say, yes, I'd like a Birkin bag. They have to get to know you as a customer, and then they invite you to buy one if they have the stock available. So Walmart starts selling this dupe, and this thing goes viral on TikTok. It looks exactly like a Birkin. Like, if you put them side by side, I couldn't tell just by looks. I'm sure maybe by feel it's different. By weight, maybe the hardware is not as good. So I'm like, I'm going to try and get one of these. So I went to order one. They're all sold out. I check back a couple days later, still sold out. I just randomly check on like a random night at like 11:30 p.m. and they have a new stock. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to order one of these. It's like $80, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
80 compared to thousands of dollars. So I ordered it. I got the shipping confirmation that it's on its way. So I bought the Walmart fake Birkin bag. Like, what is your whole take on knockoffs? Like, part of me feels bad, but the other part of me is like, I don't feel bad. I'll never buy a real Birkin, so why not get the fake one?
Yeah, don't feel bad for getting a knockoff. I get knockoff things all the time. I actually have, you know what's really in style right now, especially during the winter, is the UGG platform shoes, and it's the ones that you slide into. It's not the actual boot. It's more like a slipper.
It's like a clog.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I have the Fugs. I have the fake Uggs. I got them off Amazon. $30. In comparison, I think they're like 80. And my husband's like, how are they feeling when I tried them on? At first, they were a little rough. I had to break them in. But now, they're so comfortable. I love my Fugs. And I buy knockoff things all of the time.
Do you think the knockoffs are cheesy? Or are you a knockoff person? 702-364-9400. Does your wife buy any knockoff stuff, J-Lo?
No. Well, here's the thing. She bought a Louis Vuitton bag, and I think she paid like $120 for it.
Oh, there's no way. It was a fake.
I think it was a real Louis.
You can't buy a Louis Vuitton bag for $120.
No. Really?
It had to have been a fake.
Hold on.
Ask her, are you sure that $120 for a Louis Vuitton bag is giving Fooey Vuitton?
Yeah,
that's not Louis Vuitton.
There's no way you could. He's talking.
He's calling Aaron.
Hey, real quick, how much did you pay for that Louis Vuitton bag? Oh, okay.
There's no way it's a real bag.
All right. All right, cool. All right, love you. Bye-bye.
How much did she pay for that Louis Vuitton?
All right, I misspoke.
How much was it?
It was $1,200.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so now that was probably a real Louis Vuitton. I'm telling you, though, but I mean, you can get Louis knockoffs. You can get Gucci. There's knockoffs for every single brand. And, you know, I just feel bad sometimes for the brands that you're devaluing them. But, like, on a Birkin bag, I'm sorry, I don't feel bad.
But isn't it a little swindlish when you're trying to get a knockoff? I mean, doesn't it diminish the, like, a Louis Vuitton? I mean, the purse is like a status symbol. I mean, you know, you don't turn a status symbol into a game of finding the typo, you know?
I feel like they both serve the same purpose. And so if you can't afford something of that brand name, then why should you be forced to have something that maybe you don't like? If you find a knockoff that looks just as good, why not like own it? That's what I'm going to do with my Firkin when I get it. We're getting some texts here. This one says, sorry, ladies, I think the knockoffs are cheesy. Oh, and I respect that. They are cheesy to a point, but it's like, well, I can't afford a $20,000 bag. I just can't. So if I like the look, what am I supposed to do, right?
And I didn't know that with the Birkin bags, there's a thing that you have to get invited if they're sold out. I have so many questions about the Birkin bag that I'd love to ask someone that's maybe a little bit more of a professional, or how that all process works.
Yeah, like I said, I've never set foot in the store, but what I see on TikTok is that you have to have an established relationship with your like sales associate. And I actually have a friend, my friend Michael Mack, he runs Max Pawn here in town, and they sell Birkins there. We should ask him. Let me text him and see if he can come on, and
yeah,
we can ask.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
The whole like story and why they cost so much. And I heard that they're like unlike cars, that the second you leave the store with it, they actually increase in value.
Really? What?
So let's send him a text. We'll see if I can get him on and talk about the mystery that is the Birkin. If you have one, please tell us the situation. Someone else, a lot of people are texting about knockoffs. We'll talk about all that coming up next. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. We are talking about buying knockoffs. Like when it comes to purses, shoes, not paying designer money for designer brands and getting the lower price knockoff instead. The new Walmart Birkin bag is going viral right now. It's called a Workin, and it's a fake Birkin bag that Walmarts are selling out of. It's crazy. I ordered one because I want to see what it looks like in person. I've never even touched a real Birkin bag. I don't even know, like, from what I've heard, the process is so selective that you have to be invited into the Hermes stores to buy one. And like the whole lore behind the Birkin bag, we thought, who better to ask about it than one of my buddies? He is the owner of Max Pawn here in Las Vegas, Michael Mack. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Mercedes. How are you?
We are good. You are my go-to expert when it comes to purses, and because from Gucci to Chanel to actual Birkins, like, you have them all. And do you know the whole story behind the Birkin bag, and one, why it's so expensive and why it's so hard to actually buy one?
Well, Hermes, you know, is one of the top brands in the world, and they've been very, very on their game as far as having the most exclusive, whether it's the Hermes Birkin or the Kelly bag. And they've just made it difficult for anyone to buy. Even if you have a lot of money, you can't just walk in a store and say, I want a Birkin. You have to work your way up to it. So you have to purchase multiple items in leather goods and scarves and other things to be even mentioned, to even be thought of, to be put on the list. And the list is very deep. And, you know, we see now the knockoffs more and more.
Like this Walmart Birkin bag. And when you purchase items, you have a really thorough process to go through to authenticate these items. And do you actually have in your possession Kelly's and Birkins right now?
Well, Mercedes, we have one of the largest Hermes Birkin collections in the U.S. for sale. We have over 80 bags. So,
oh my God. Wow.
Our Decatur and Flamingo store is kind of like a candy store. And so, we even have a bachelor at parties come and take photos. It's just such an odd thing to see, especially in a pawn shop. So we're real proud.
What is the price range, though, after? Okay, so like if I bought it from Hermes, what would it cost me? And if I go to you, are they more valuable once they leave the store, or do they go down in price? How does that work?
Well, you're absolutely right. They go up in price. They start about $14,000 for a leather one, and go as high as $300,000 for a white Himalayan, which is a white albino crocodile with gold hardware. So they range. As far as price is going up, yes. The moment you walk out of the store, the bag is worth more money. And Hermes, you know, they know that. And so it's one brand. It's never gone on sale in the history of its company. Louis Vuitton's very much the same. They don't have outlet malls. They don't have sales. They just have one price.
Michael, I have a question for you. We're talking to Michael Mack, the owner of Max Pawn. What is one of the first things that you look at and when you get a bag and you see, oh, yep, this is fake, or you know it's real? What are the first things you look at a bag?
Well, unfortunately, we see people coming in trying to trade non-authentic bags almost every day. So, you know, we have experts that are trained. We know how many stitches are in each bag. We know exactly how they're fitted. And the first sign is that sometimes the smell of a natural, of a authentic and non-authentic is quite different. And so we use third-party authentication. We don't just depend on our people. We use a device that's called Entropy, which is a sort of a camera in a proprietary hardware that takes microscopic photos all the way down to the microfiber of the bag. It checks date codes. It checks hardware. It goes up to AI and gives us the signal yes or no. When it gives us the yes, we print a little card like a Chanel card, and it's blockchain and stays with the bag for the life of the bag. So when we sell a pre-loved bag, it comes with third-party authentication, and that also keeps hold the value, but also tells a reseller that this bag is good.
That's wild.
Wow. Hey, Mike, I got a quick question for you. I'm asking for a friend. Can you get a bag on layaway?
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Why not? That is a great question.
Yes.
We have a layaway. It's called the 10-10-10. So you can put 10% down, 10 months to pay, and easy payments.
Hold on, let me write this
down. Oh, seriously? how much? What's the least expensive Birkin that you own right now?
We have some Birkins that have a little bit of flaw, sometimes a little scratch in the corners. We start them about $6,000. And to put that in perspective, you know, Hermes just raised their prices another 10%. Chanel has risen their prices. A double flap Chanel bag is $13,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Luxury is going crazy. It doesn't have any reflection on what's going on in the economy. And the great thing we do is we sell authentic bags at great value.
Well, I have to stick with my fake Birkin for now, Michael. But, you know, when I hit Megabucks, you know what I'm buying. I'm coming straight to you.
Hermes has already shut down Walmart. I have a cease and desist, and there's going to be a big lawsuit there.
No.
Oh, so that means
you made it in time.
I made it in time. Oh, my God.
You made it. You squeezed in. Oh,
thank you, Michael, so much. Go check out Mercedes. If you guys want, if you can afford one of those bags. And he's got some really like good, not as expensive ones, like, you know, your Coaches and your Junie and Burks and stuff like that. He's awesome, and he knows his business. So thank you so much for Michael. We've got Heads Up coming up next. It's Mix 94.1.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Hey, Melanie, you're caller 20.
Yeah. Woo. Awesome.
Are you ready to play Heads Up for Maroon 5 tickets?
I am. I hope I win.
Let's do it. All right. You've got four categories to choose from. Do you want to go with Fly Away, Chef Boyardee, Hobby Lobby, or Beans and Rice?
Let's do Chef Boyardee.
All right. January is baking month, so these are all things that are associated with baking, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, Melanie, Mercedes, your 60 seconds, it starts now.
This is the name of the... Well, I'm going to pass on that one, actually. This is a dessert. They're, like, tiny, and they have frosting on top of it.
Cupcake?
Yes. This is what I just said goes on top of a cupcake. You put this.
Sprinkles.
No. Yes, frosting is right.
Frosting.
This is how you cook them. You put them in this place. You preheat.
Oven.
Yes.
Cake.
I would sing you a song when it's this and I put a cake in front of you.
Happy birthday.
Yes. This is, you eat the main course, and now it's time for this course.
Dessert.
Yes. You blow these out on your birthday cake.
Candles.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Woo. You got it, Melanie. Congratulations.
You go, girl. Okay. This is so awesome. Do you know how many times I said call in for your different contest?
You finally got it. Not only did you win, but you won something really cool. You get to go see Maroon 5, their residency at Dolby Live.
Oh, excited. I'm taking my daughter.
Oh, that's going to be a blast. You have to let us know how it goes. Send us pictures, Melanie. We want to hear all about it. And your chance to win Maroon 5 tickets coming up tomorrow morning with Heads Up.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Consumer Electronics Show starts today, the most powerful tech event in the world. Are you guys going at all?
Oh, Jay, I was asking him. I'm like, hey, I thought you go every year. And you said you're not going this year?
Yeah, I might go, but my buddy was supposed to come in town and do it, and we canceled it, so...
But you have a pass.
I have a pass, yes. Oh, dear.
It's really, they have the coolest things that you see first at CES.
Oh, yeah.
And tons of amazing products, some weird products. Here are some of the weirdest things that they've unveiled so far over at CES. They have a robot vacuum that picks up your dirty socks. It's like a Roomba, but... it has this arm on top and it picks stuff up that you tossed on the floor.
What if it's an accident? Like they accidentally pick up your dog?
Yeah, they might do that too. I would be very careful if you have a small dog. It's just a prototype right now, but it can pick up small items. They say that weigh less than 11 ounces.
Okay.
So if your dog's heavier than that, you're in the clear. They have some electric roller blades that you can buy. It's basically you wear this battery around your waist and you can control control the speed with the remote. And the top speed on these rollerblades is 18 miles an hour.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, that's actually really scary that you could go that fast and not have, I mean, you would have control over it, but I don't know. That just sounds like an accident waiting to happen. They have this little robot that is called a Fufu, and it looks like this cat. It hangs on the side of your coffee mug, and it will cool down your coffee. Or, like, if you have soup that's too hot, it cools it down for you.
That is genius! I saw one of the items that freaked me out was a table with working legs, and I guess it's called the Mimu, and it has legs that it'll walk around with stuff on it. That one would freak me out.
Yeah, that's it's a robot that you can talk to, but it looks like furniture. So, yeah, they have all sorts of crazy things. CES, yeah, and keep that in mind. If you're around that area today, traffic's going to be really crazy around there. But yeah, a lot of people in town for that today. Also, this morning, as much as you may want to not love certain celebrities, it's so hard to not like Post Malone. This story is great. There's this bartender in Houston, and they had, like, she had the best Christmas thanks to Post Malone. Her name's Renee Brown. She's a single mom. She works two jobs. She homeschools her daughter, so she's got her hands full. And she was working the late shift at a neighborhood bar called the Rail Yard. This is on Christmas Eve. It was very slow, but then Post Malone and Shaboozy show up with some friends. Like, can you imagine you're working and here's Post Malone and Shaboozy just walking in?
So cool.
She says that they hung out there. They played music on their jukebox until about 2 in the morning. And then Posty went to pay the check, but they didn't give him a check. His friends, a few regulars, had bought all his drinks, so he didn't really have anything to pay. But he said he really wanted to leave her a tip. So he asked, can you just charge me like $1? So she did that. She charged him $1. And when she checked his receipt, he tipped her $20,000.
Post Malone. And the reason why they were in Houston, Post Malone and Shaboozy, is because they came out during the Beyonce Bowl during the Houston Ravens game. So I can imagine Post Malone doing that. He just seems like the sweetest guy.
He does.
The respect that he gives, like, he calls everyone yes ma'am, yes ma'am. And I think Post Malone is such an angel for doing that.
And that just proves that he's not only just a rock star on stage, but he's just like a rock star when it comes to kindness. I mean, he is such a sweet guy.
I've never heard a bad story about him in dealing with fans or people in the industry at all. He's just, that just goes to show you what kind of a person he is. And he's coming to town. He's going to be at Allegiant Stadium this year, so that's going to be really cool. Finally this morning, so I think we can all agree that Nikki Glaser did a pretty good job at hosting the Golden Globes this year. I thought she did a really good job.
Funny.
She's already signed up to do next year's Golden Globes.
Really?
They just announced this morning that she signed up. Well, yesterday she revealed some of the jokes that she decided not to use on the show. So I'm going to tell you these jokes, okay? Now remember, these are her jokes. They're not my jokes. And we'll see if they get a pop from you guys, okay?
Okay.
All right. So let's see. I loved the movie Conclave. It's about the choosing of a new pope. It was heartwarming. It will touch you so much that the church will have to move it to another theater.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't really like the Catholic Church pedophile jokes.
Dude,
that's like, kind of like, eh.
Wow. Yeah, I'm glad she cut that one out.
Okay, here's one. Glenn Powell is nominated tonight for the movie Hitman. Who would have thought you'd only be the second hottest hitman in America?
Who's the first?
That's that Luigi Mangione guy.
Oh, my God.
Come on,
and,
Steph.
And that's why they cut that out, because she felt like that had already gone through the media cycle, that story, and that people would be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it went right over my head right there.
Okay, this one's rough, and I'm glad they cut this one out. This is Nikki Glaser's joke she cut from her monologue. Michael Keaton was so great in Beetlejuice. And Alec Baldwin sadly did not come back to play a ghost because he was too busy making them.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
That's messed up.
Yeah,
that's mean. Ooh. Mean. I'm trying to see if there's any that are, I mean, some of these are like good zingers, but yeah, I just, there's none that I'm like, oh yeah, that you should have included that. I think she made the right call on a lot of these.
No, I agree, for sure.
She said that Jared Carmichael was paid $500,000 to host 2 years ago, and she got less, but now she's asking for more money.
Good for her. Sure. Yes.
Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. I'm really excited. This Friday, there's a new movie coming out. It's called The Last Showgirl, starring Pamela Anderson. And I saw an advanced screening of it last week over at the Beverly Theater. Like, Pamela Anderson was there. It was a huge thing. They had a Q&A with her. And I'm so excited for this movie to come out. Just obviously living here, I think locals are going to really be drawn to this movie. It was like a love letter to Las Vegas, and just shows the struggles that some of this entertainment that we have on the Strip, we really take for granted as locals. You know, it's like we have world-class entertainment right here in our backyard, and so many people that are just grinding every day to keep ourselves entertained. And it showed this Pam Anderson's character. She's a showgirl, and the show she's in is about to close down. And it's just like real life, like when Jubilee closed down, you know, it was crazy. And her struggle to find, like, what else can I do? And you guys got to go see it. It comes out on Friday.
I saw the trailer when you first started talking about it. I think when the trailer just dropped and you said, Steph, check it out. So I did. I watched it. I had the chills. I really hope that she wins. Pamela Anderson wins an award for this role. That's how good the trailer was.
She was really good in it. And it shows like the struggle that we don't think about. We all have our struggles in life. But these entertainers, and I'm super excited because we actually have a real life showgirl on hold right now that we're going to talk to in a second. The struggles that they have to deal with working in entertainment and like proving their relevancy as you get older and stuff like that. I can still do that. It was just so good.
Was it based on a true story?
I think maybe loosely, like this wasn't specifically based on one person, but gotcha. I would guess maybe we ask our friend Bex about that. Bex, she is an actual showgirl, and she was in the movie. Let's, my buttons are not working.
There we go.
Bex, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Oh, it's so great to have you. First and foremost, I want to say congratulations to you, Bex. I saw that you just recently became a U.S. citizen.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's so exciting. I'm so happy for you. But you are a real life showgirl. And you were at this same screening I was last week. What did you think of the movie?
I honestly absolutely loved it. I laughed. I cried. It took me right back to those like last final days in the dressing room before the closing of Jubilee. And I tell you, the way they wrote the script, it feels like there was a fly on the wall, like writing everything down that we said verbatim, because the script is legitimate. Like that's exactly what we were living and what we were going through during those times.
What did you find? A lot of the struggles that Pam Anderson's character had to deal with were the struggles of being a mom and working in that industry, and also just as she got older, being relevant in that industry. What were your biggest struggles, or are your biggest struggles working in that industry?
Honestly, the same. I'm a mother of two beautiful children, and each time I've had a child, it's kind of like reinventing yourself, getting yourself back into shape, getting yourself back into shows, auditioning. And of course, during the time of me having my children, we went through the pandemic, so a lot of shows closed. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of shows that were even available to be a part of, you know. So it's definitely about reinventing yourself, staying up to date, like, you know, staying relevant as well, and really working hard to really strive forward and know what you want, setting those goals, finding the show you want to be in next, working really hard to get in it and being a part of it. And that's honestly been mostly my life, like, you know, working hard, being very lucky in getting the shows that I've ever wanted, but, you know, moving on and moving forward as well at the same time.
One of the big stories is just that she's so sad because the art of the Las Vegas showgirl, she feels, is just going away. And what do you think about that? The showgirl is so iconic when it comes to Las Vegas. And as one, what do you think the state of the showgirl is right now?
I mean, honestly, that is true. It is so sad. And there isn't a real Las Vegas showgirl anymore. We have these hints to the Las Vegas showgirl, for example, the Vegas Golden Knights, the bells that they have. Mm-hmm. And those are legitimate showgirls. And most of them were from Jubilee as well and Follies. But then there's also Vegas the Show, which is like an ode to the showgirl. They have like some showgirl moments in there, but really, like, as far as a real showgirl goes, there isn't any more. And of course Dita Las Vegas as well at Voltaire, she actually uses the costumes from Jubilee, which is wonderful. So you do get to see those legendary and historical costumes from Jubilee in the Dita show that is currently at Voltaire. But otherwise, yeah, the real showgirl is, She's going
away. It's so sad. You were in the movie,
yes.
Right? You were featured in the movie. What part were you in, and how was that working on it?
I was one of the showgirls, obviously. So I was in that main, we were doing a lot of like extra stuff, and I was in that main last showgirl scene, that's the end of the Razzle Dazzle show. And what was it like? It was awesome. It was so much fun. It was, you know, working with Pamela, and of course they were very much in their zone and really getting into character. So it's not like we were really talking to them or with them, but it was just a lot of fun being behind the scenes and shooting all that extra work where we're running back and forth in the hallways and
stuff. It's chaotic in the back, you know?
I can't wait to watch the movie.
Yes. Funny story, it was so chaotic that actually two of us actually got stuck together. Our headdresses got stuck together during one of the tapes. Yes, we were like backing.
You have to be careful. Those things are huge. Yes.
How did you guys, how did you guys get apart? Did someone have to help you, or were you guys
we did. Yeah, we like backed up. We were like, reverse. I think they probably stopped filming straight away when they saw that happening. Pamela had like a laugh on her face because it happened right in front of her. And then we just disconnected. It was so funny. But those are the things that happen, real life.
That's the life of being a showgirl. Bex, please keep that life of the showgirl alive as long as possible. It's so Vegas. And we're so proud of you, not just for being in this film, but also, like I said, for becoming a U.S. citizen. That is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
She's awesome. You guys got to go see this movie. It's The Last Showgirl, comes out Friday. Amazing movie, and again, a love letter to Las Vegas. It's Mix 94.1.